What wonderful stones and what beautiful buildings. The disciples marvel and gape at the temple in Jerusalem, and for good reason. At one time, the temple was the public location of Yahweh's presence. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we hear God consecrate, set apart the temple for himself, and he promises his name to be there forever, except in the case of idolatry. In other words, if his people would turn from him, then the beautiful and richly adorned temple would be cast from his sight and made a byword among the peoples. It's in the Old Testament. Flash forward to the New Testament. And today we hear Jesus respond to the disciples' awe and wonder with these somber words. He says, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." The temple will be torn asunder and reduced to a pile of rubble. Why? Because God is no longer in his temple. The temple is cast from his sight on account of his people's unbelief. Today in the gospel lesson, God sits opposite the temple, and he's watching from a distance on the Mount of Olives. Don't miss that. God is not in his temple. The disciples are curious, maybe even afraid, and they privately beseech Jesus to tell them, when will these things be? And Jesus, what will be the sign? What will be the sign accompanying this tremendous event? That question, and its various forms, has not gone away. There are those today who profess to be Christian, and they labor to obtain the exact date of our Lord's return. History is filled with false prophets claiming to have figured out when God is coming back on the last day. And so far, their success rate is a whopping 0%. The Old Testament Jewish calendar, with all its high feast days and festival times, has been diligently examined. Old Testament numerology has been interpreted and explored. The book of Revelation, composed by St. John, has been unlocked many times by end times prophets, all done with the intent of determining when exactly, when is God coming back. Books have been written, and teachers continue making bold predictions, peddling their lies, and attracting followers and lots of money. But the racket goes something like this. You find a cool-sounding Hebrew word, acknowledge a recent cataclysmic event, and make it somehow relate to the Jewish calendar, scare the people with future wars, alliances, and falling stock markets, then combine all that with God's impending judgment, and suddenly, what do you have? People's attention and their pocketbooks. But again, the success rate of all this, zero. And the followers of false teachers are always left empty-handed. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. Our Lord says it himself. No one knows the day or the hour. And when the disciples put their question before the Lord, notice he answers differently than what we might expect. He says, "See that you are not deceived." When, Jesus? When? What is the sign? And what does our God say? Don't be deceived. No date. No sign. No time. Just see that you are not deceived. Friends, the one who has been sealed by God as his own doesn't need a sign. You don't need a sign because you have everything you need for your salvation. Everything you need for your salvation belongs to you in Christ. There will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. There will be famines. There will be earthquakes. There will be nation rising against nation until the end. Don't be surprised. And let not this stuff alarm you. That's what your God says. Don't be alarmed, says Jesus. Don't be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. So if someone tries to scare you, if they try to alarm you, they are not being faithful to God's word, because we heard it today from our Lord. Don't be afraid. And you don't need to be searching for signs. Instead, Jesus says this, do not be deceived. Oh, Christian, don't be deceived. Don't let someone lead you astray. But why does Jesus answer this way? What is he teaching us with these words? And I submit to you this. What he is teaching us is how you live now affects where you spend eternity. What happens to all of you whenever Christ returns depends on what you believe this side of heaven. So if you are led astray, and if a false teacher and a false prophet whose teachings do not correspond with that in Scripture, if these things attract you and you follow them, then this will adversely affect where you spend eternity. The point of the Bible is not for us to search it out in vain attempts to ascertain the exact date of our Lord's return. That is neither God's command nor the purpose of his word. The purpose of his word is that we might repent of our sin, recognize and believe in his redemption and the forgiveness of sins that is yours in Christ, Christ alone. That is the purpose of God's holy word, that you hear its testimony to salvation, a salvation for the world accomplished in full by God in Christ, your Savior, who is in your possession by faith. By faith. The Bible is not some divine mystical code book for the end times that we have to crack, as if such a task would help us anyways. How you stand, how we stand on the day of judgment depends on what you believe and who you trust. See that no one leads you astray. In verse 9, Jesus says, be on your guard. A more lucid translation is, watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. Persecution, it will come. Jesus says so. But when it does, how will you fare? You will be hated by all for the name of Christ. There's a promise for you in Holy Writ. You will be hated by all by bearing the name of Christ. But the one who endures until the end will be saved. How do you endure? How does the baptized believer survive even families being torn apart by the gospel? In that there are those who believe in the light and there are those who believe in the darkness. How will you endure? The answer is the same way Christians have always survived persecution and even martyrdom, and that is by faith. And by confessing that faith, which is a work of the Holy Spirit, faith always comes from hearing God's holy word. So watching yourself, that phrase means you tend to yourself. You tend to yourself by getting a steady diet of God's word and all his gifts as you repent of your sin and seek God's mercy and his forgiveness. two sins that are highly destructive to the Christian faith. There are more, but here are two I will highlight. Two sins that are highly destructive to the Christian faith are laziness and apathy. Laziness. Apathy. When one becomes apathetic to the things of God, that is to say, one becomes numb to his or her sin, and they no longer hunger and thirst for a Savior, then there will be a lack of doing things like daily devotions, and even neglecting going to church. Now, the epistle warns us today. In the letter to the Hebrews, it says, don't neglect meeting together as is the habit of some. Now, I don't want to preach to the choir. Obviously, all of you are here in church, and I rejoice and am thankful for God for that. But it is still worth saying. It is still worth saying skipping church all the time and not meeting with the body of Christ is a terrible habit. But when one becomes apathetic to the faith, and lazy in how they use and handle God's word, neglecting devotions, neglecting confession, neglecting hearing the word, neglecting even love towards the neighbor. My simple question is, how do you expect to endure? Because neglecting the things of God and all the gifts He has given you means you're not watching yourself. You're not watching yourself. You're not keeping an eye on your sins, your wicked tendencies, your bad habits, and confessing those sins before God and seeking His solace and relief in Christ. Watch yourself. Watch how you live. It does matter. Therefore, it may not be the end times preacher trying to sell you a bill of goods that you buy into, and for that, God be praised. But there are other sins that get us. There are other sins. Laziness and apathy. Neglecting the things of God because you just don't care. That'll do the trick as well. These temptations pull us from God. When we perceive less and less our need for a loving God who has truly put away your sin. See that no one leads you astray, Christian. Astray from what? Astray from your God and all the promises that He makes. It is true, the fallen world cries in pain until the end. We are hearing today some of those cries from Paris, France. The world groans as she awaits the end. But God will return, and on that day His enemies will be His footstool. For the baptized believer, the last day will be a glorious day, ushering new heavens and a new earth. And on this day, how you stand before God, how you stand before God, each and every one of you, depends upon one thing. And that is that you were not led astray, but were faithful and believed. That your salvation was not dependent upon your works, but upon one high priest. One high priest who gave up His flesh to grant you access to heaven. See that you are not led astray from Him, from Jesus, who has bestowed confidence to His children. That they can approach God in faith with the knowledge that your sins are put away. And your consciences have been sprinkled clean and your bodies washed with pure water. As time unfolds, we get older and we begin to feel pressure from the world and painful bodies heading towards the grave. Let me remind you of this promise that you have from your God. For by a single sacrifice, for by a single offering, He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. It's hard to think of the Christian being perfected even now, but you are. You are because of the blood that purifies you. the blood that atones for sin every day. You live by faith. Remember, faith always grabs Jesus and his merits. Faith always grabs Christ and his work to cleanse you and present you holy without blemish. Your conscience is purified. Your body is healed. See that you are not led astray from any of this, because it is by God and his gifts to you through Christ and his merits that you will endure all of it, even death. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.